We'd like to welcome you to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Let's take a deeper dive into what it means to be heart leaders. The Heart Leader Podcast starts now. Hi, and welcome back for another episode of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber, and I am here with co-host Austin today to kick off another month diving in to the topic of ego. And can ego be used as a tool? And as we're diving into that, we really would like to introduce a tool that we're using this month that's all around aligning the ego. So understanding where we are as far as our ego is concerned, and is it really where we would like it to be? Or is there room for growth? But I know that sometimes when we talk about ego, individuals are in different spaces as far as, oh, ego is just a weapon. People yield it all the time as a weapon. Or we need to kill the ego. Ego is bad. So we'd really like to start the discussion there so we can understand what this ego alignment journal would even be utilized for and how it could be of benefit. So let me ask you, Austin, what is your view of ego? What does it even mean to you when you hear someone talk about ego? Because it does get, especially in different spiritual communities and in religion, even in politics, ego gets batted around a lot. So when you hear someone talking about ego, what does it even mean for you in the beginning?
Right. I would say for a long time, because I would say my answer is different now than it had been for most of my life. And so I want to first start off what it meant to me for a long time. And I feel like a lot of people can relate. When I thought ego, I always thought of what we call over-ego, where someone has a bigger-than-life personality. It's all about me, or, you know, it's like the I, what can I do for myself?
Look at me.
Yeah, all that. And usually it was a negative connotation. It wasn't like, oh, he's got a big ego, like, or she's got a big ego, like, oh yeah, I want to be like that person. Like, no, it was always a negative connotation centered around it. And so for a vast majority of my life, when I heard ego, that's what I thought. And it wasn't a good thing. You didn't want to have a big ego. That was not kind of in many ways looked down upon. But I would say I found it interesting and odd because it was in many ways looked down upon. However, when it was presented, people responded to it and would actually engage in that way and submit in that way. And so I found that was kind of my first time really, you know, once I saw it more as I grew up old, and especially in college and after graduating, especially diving into the business world for the first time. Man, I mean, that was like a whole, you know, I thought college was one thing, but,
ego.
You know, 18, 19, 20 year old egos are nothing compared to, you know, some lifetime egos. And so it was being introduced to that just made me start to question, well, you know, why am I seeing someone who has really a really big ego, but all the people around them are allowing it to remain? I was like, that's interesting. Why are they saying bad things about it, but then accepting it, and then not only accepting, but actually feeding into it?
Yeah.
So that was weird. And so it really wasn't until some of my personal journey, understanding, seven years ago now, I really started to understand the differentiation between ego, as we're going to really dive into today, about the over-ego, the under-ego, and then the balanced ego.
Yeah. And so ego to you than was somebody proving themselves outside of self.
Absolutely. It's a great way to put it. I don't know if I had the bandwidth or the awareness at that time to be able to put it in that way. To me, it seemed like machismo or bravado or, in those kind of terminologies that you'd see, especially in movies, right?
Yeah.
And that's where it would be kind of really placed, put into place. And I'm like, okay, like that's an ego. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. And in a way, I would offer that that is ego in one flavor.
Right.
And that's the one we talk about the most. Mm-hmm. But we don't really associate somebody being withdrawn or being self-conscious or self-loathing. We don't necessarily relate that to ego. But I've found that when we have an undersense of our ego, when we don't feel like we're enough or that we're worthy enough, then that deflated ego tends to also be equally as out of balance and could be and should be talked about equally as much as somebody who has an over-inflated sense of ego. Because what we tend to do then is if we have an underdeveloped sense of ego, we're attracted to those people who have an over-evaluated sense of ego because we feed off of each other. We create these codependencies, right? And we see it time and time again in coaching and counseling. There's this codependency that can be so easily created because we're looking for the strength in others that we don't have to create the balance. So there's an outside of self that starts to happen, right? So I know what I don't have, I'm going to seek it outside of myself. Instead of looking within and going, I know what I haven't developed yet, how can I develop this for myself?
Right.
And so when we talk about ego being used as a tool, to me, that's really what we're talking about. Because if we're constantly looking outside of ourselves for that, then we're creating these codependencies where we stay where we are. We stay with that underdeveloped sense of ego, looking for that overdeveloped sense of ego to balance ourselves out outside of ourselves. But if we look at it as this is my tool, and I have not yet created a healthy awareness around this tool that I can leverage to know who I am and how I desire to experience myself in this world. So I'm going to go within and create that own knowing of self and balance within myself so that I can be that expression. Or like, hey, I've gone too far the other way and now I need to prove to everybody else who I am instead of just being who I am. So how do I pull that back? Then all of our energy and time is spent in proving something or not experiencing something instead of being in that healthy center point, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I really like how you just put that because it helped me, even just in this conversation, have a better understanding and more empathy for those in the over-ego standpoint, because the reality is that's a facade where it's really someone who is in the under-ego or the deflated ego who's attempting to prove that they aren't. And so it goes so far the other way. And so, yeah, I've been kind of wondering a little bit about, well, you know, I do get the under-ego part. That's something I've struggled with. I mean, honestly, who hasn't struggled with self-worth or self-love or self-understanding? Yeah. In a world that's constantly telling you how to be, what to do, and all those things, you know, no wonder we're struggling in finding our true north, right? So, and it's only natural for humans to want to go so far one way so they can find that balance. We do that in many aspects of our lives.
It's like the pendulum, right? Got to swing.
Yep, exactly. So, but I just hadn't really, so I appreciate the way you just brought that forward because I feel like it really clicked on another level for me that even the presentation of an over ego is the reality of someone still in the under ego. And so the balance isn't necessarily, you know, it's this, it's the balance is in the lack of understanding of self.
Yeah.
And so that's a fascinating, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you.
That's good.
And ultimately, I know sometimes we'll mention ego can be a tool or a weapon, as all things can be. You know, it's how we utilize anything, anything that can make it a tool or a weapon. And that includes our ego, because our ego is a way for us to know who we are, where we begin and end, as opposed to you, like me being me, you being you. Right. So it's a wonderful asset. But when I have to push that my way, my sense of self is better than or less than, or that I am somehow like you should be my way and I'm going to force that so that you now conform, then I'm using my ego as a weapon. I have now weaponized my ego to force you to become like me, versus saying, you know, I have a healthy sense of ego, so I'm not going to allow you to force me to become like you, but I'm also not going to force you to become like me. We all have an opportunity to be our own unique self. So I'm going to use it as that tool to shine brightly as I am and have the amazing experience I came here to have and share as I came to share. But if you don't desire what I have to share, okay, that's fine. I'm good with that and I'll move on. And so to me, when we talk about having the opportunity to use it as a tool outside of self, that's the opportunity to use ego as a tool outside of self. Mm-hmm. When you talk about having it as a tool, do you have a different take on it?
No, I feel like what I'm hearing you say, and I would say feel the same, that in many ways, ego is a barometer for self. And it can help us understand, well, if we experience ourselves in one way, is that actually how we want to experience ourselves? Part of experience is actually to experience so that we can know that. So if we choose not to learn from it, then it's neither a tool nor a weapon, but oftentimes weapons are when we're using something unconsciously. So it by default kind of becomes a weapon.
Yeah.
But the reality is when we are aware of it, we can recognize its purpose, have a conscious understanding of the experience that we're having, then it can be an incredible tool for the barometer of how we desire to live our lives and experience. We may have a mission, as we talked about, in our life and what we desire to accomplish. What do we want to live and experience? And so an ego can help us find our path, if you will, to say, okay, well, hey, I just experienced myself in this way. You know, maybe that didn't align.
Yeah.
And so maybe I need to pull back a little bit. Oh, wait, that was a little too far. Now I don't feel like I have a voice. And so now I need to kind of speak up. So it's kind of like that little, bumpers. Like a rail guard in a way to keep us in our lane, to keep us on our path, so that we can have the experience that we came here to have.
Yeah, very much so. And I've heard in all of the different tours that I've taken through various groups, whether they're spiritual, educational, political, you know, the ego is somehow tainted as bad, mm-hmm. that it should be killed off, or we should seek to rise above our ego. And I understand that concept. I'm in no way discounting those views or those perspectives. I just happen to have a slightly different one, which is that our ego is very important to us. It would be like going into your toolbox and throwing away your hammer. Could you find other tools that could compensate? Of course. But man, your hammer makes life a lot easier to have one in your toolbox, right? And it's the same with our ego. Our ego is so vital for so many things that we do in our life. It is exactly what you said. It's kind of that barometer or that bumper rail that if we understand how to leverage it and utilize it, it helps us understand our sense of mission in life. It helps us even in many ways understand the I part of the whole.
Right.
Like, and we need both. We need to understand that we are a collective whole, but I serve a part in that collective whole. It's when we go too far into the only the I and we forget that we're a part of the collective whole. It's when we get so caught in the purpose that we forget the mission. It's when we are so focused on reacting to everything around us that we forget how to take a step back and respond. So there are ways that we can balance and make certain that we have kind of the whole package. And that's where I would offer, if you just throw it all out, then you're missing the opportunity to find the harmony in the flow. And so by taking these steps and utilizing the tool that we've been given to, and it's not easy. I mean, as you were saying, we've all found ourselves there. I had a very under ego approach in my life, always feeling like I was less than or not worthy of for the longest time until, and I think I mentioned on one of these podcasts, and like I threw myself into a profession where being judged, evaluated, told no, I did it on purpose so that I could get over that and develop a much healthier sense of self and what I truly felt about myself. And we all have to find those things that cause us to step up and say, okay, I need to hone and refine this part of myself. Mm-hmm. And so for you, you had a different path for getting there. What tools would you share or what advice would you share for someone who is on this ego journey? Someone who like steps up and says, okay, I am ready. Yeah, I've identified potentially whether I have a lower sense of ego or a lower sense of self, or maybe I've gone a little too far and I'm overcompensating a little bit and I've moved into the overinflated ego just a little bit, or at least maybe because friends and family love to tell you
yes.
If you've kind of gotten a big head,
mm-hmm.
You know? So if friends and family, or even you have noticed like, man, sometimes I'm just crossing the line a little bit and you need to pull back. What advice would you give someone to say like, hey, here's a couple tools that I used in order to do that?
Sure. I'd say first and foremost, the understanding that I am not my ideas was an incredible perspective to approach ego, because it helped me separate myself from the thoughts that I have, recognizing that I am not my thoughts, I am not my ideas, I am not, those are in and of itself, ideas and thoughts are experiences that we don't have to act upon, or we don't have to let define us. And so we can have them. It's great to have thoughts and ideas. Right? Exactly. Exactly. So, but if we can utilize them to understand, well, okay, if I have this thought or idea, you know, just because it's maybe something I don't align with, that doesn't mean that that's who I am. Or maybe it is something I align with and it's like, well, hey, I do want to experience that. So we actually kind of manifest that into our physical experience. So I'd say first and foremost, that perspective of stepping away, I think that was like one step removed. Like, I'm not my actions, I'm not my thoughts, I'm not my ideas. I'm one step removed where those create an experience for me to understand who I am. And then I think the next step was understanding that maybe ego isn't even just one tool. Maybe it's the entire toolbox. And the experiences I have are the different tools within that toolbox to help me understand, well, hey, I need a toolbox if I want to actually construct something important in my life. It's great. It's great to be able to do that. And having a toolbox has many different facets in it so that you can pick and choose whatever allows you to actually create what you need to. Then it's kind of something that is a part of me. But again, a toolbox doesn't define how you create, a house or something like that, right? It's still me, you know. And I'm using this very loosely because I barely know how to use any kind of construction tools. So this is just straight up for an analogy. So go easy on me here for any of my lack of using tools. But yeah, that because we so quickly, you know, what's that saying about, if we're a hammer, everything we see is a nail, right? And that's, to me, is part of the reason why we misinterpret what ego means.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and one step within that is that, hey, a hammer doesn't have to be a weapon. It also can be a tool, right? That's what we talked about earlier. Right. But the next step is that, well, hammer is just one of the tools in there. And there's so many aspects that are within a toolbox. And when we have the conscious awareness of what to use, you know, if I want to do something on and construct a house, it's not like the only tool I'm going to use is a hammer. I'm not going to get very far, which is exactly why I don't build houses physically. But in the analogy, you know, one could say, okay, well, depending on what I need to do and what I need to construct and what needs to be built, then I can consciously choose what tool to help me get there.
Yes.
That to me is understanding a balance of ego, because you're utilizing this tool and you're creating something, an experience that you desire.
Yes. So like ego, again, a hammer. Our soul is such an important tool, right? Our consciousness that flows through all of it. Mm-hmm. There are so many different layers to what makes each of us, us. Mm-hmm. And we get so wrapped up in one tool. And yeah, suddenly everything is a nail. And we're just, our ego becomes our identity and our only identity. And again, we go back to that's where having an alignment or a balance or just an awareness of, okay, it's fine. This is where I am right now. Where do I want to be? What does, and it's different for all of us, like a healthy sense of self or an aligned ego or however you want to term it, doesn't matter. It's just making certain that your ego, that tool, is a tool that is fit for you. Now, like you're a golfer and you know how important having your golf clubs fit for you is, right?
Absolutely.
Your clubs have to, even though it's a golf club, all golfers use golf clubs, right? But if you went and you pulled a golf club out of my bag, it would change your golf game completely.
Yeah.
Because my clubs are fit for me. Your clubs are fit for you. Mm-hmm. That is the same as our ego. What is balanced and fit for me is going to be way different than what is balanced and fit for you, even though it's the same exact tool. Why is that?
I can definitely tell you all the reasons in golf.
It's going to be the same. Same.
No, it's... It makes sense because, well, we're different. We want to have different experiences. How I approach golf is different than how you approach golf, for example. And how I approach life is different than how you approach life. Either it's better or worse, just simply different. And so when I have clubs that are fit for me, or when I actually have the awareness to take that time for myself to, like an ego standpoint, be aware of my ego that is fit for me, then I can actually approach life just as I would approach golf from a much more intentional perspective. And it allows me to actually do what I want and experience what I want at a higher level. And the beauty about that is that it's even once you actually do have that relationship, just like with golf clubs. If I have this amazing set of golf clubs that is fit exactly for me, and I can hit the way I want to hit, and I can actually execute the shots that I want to hit. Well, the next question is, well, when do I hit those shots? And so, you know, it is ironic that through the process of understanding ego, that we actually have to learn how to balance the ego within that, because there's times where, you know, I may be set up perfectly for a shot that's, you know, maybe I could possibly do it, but then I get too much in my head. I'm like, oh, you know, I got this, no problem. And then I ended up making myself in a worse position because I used a club in an incorrect way that wasn't actually, because it wasn't well thought out. It wasn't intentional. It was glorified in many ways, which is not a reality, you know. And so there's a balance there. And so if it's not just about what tool to use, it's about when to use it.
Yes.
And so, you know, in that situation, you know, maybe if it's a practice round, for example, and I want to go for it just to experience that, you know, maybe hitting a green and two on a par five, well, practice round's great. That's the experience. It'll help me understand. So in the tournament, you know, maybe I won't do that. It'll get me out of my own way, if you will. And then so during the tournament, I will actually, if that happens again, I won't be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go for it and then end up in a worse position. But I needed to have that experience so that it could set me up for the success that I need to see, which is, okay, I'm actually going to lay up and then approach it. And then now I won't blow up and get in my own way and all this kind of stuff. I'll actually, you know, I'll have all the tools. I'll know exactly how to utilize them to then have the full experience that I want to have.
Yeah. And that is very similar, even with ego, right?
Yeah.
So you may have one ego response in your personal life.
Yeah.
But if you had the same ego response in your professional life, it might be very different. Mm-hmm. So you have to be willing to understand your ego and other tools in your toolbox, other parts of who you are. So when we say tools and we say toolbox, mm-hmm. for others who are like you and don't necessarily go around collecting wrenches, hammers, screwdrivers, and build things,
yes.
Really all we're saying is you have to have a clear understanding of what makes you you. Mm-hmm. What are the component parts of you? We are all multifaceted, every single one of us. And no one of us are only our ego. Mm-hmm. We all have other parts that make us who we are. The ego is a wonderful entry point for understanding and going within to make other discoveries of what those aspects of us are. But there are so many parts of us. Mm-hmm. And so what we're saying is get to know all of those parts of you. They are all tools. They are all aspects of who you are. And so you're going to apply those parts of you differently in different situations. When you do that knowingly and mindfully and purposefully, then you're creating your life instead of having your life just happen to you. You become the builder. You don't have to think of it as though, okay, I'm just, all this is pre-designed for me. Mm-hmm. Now, it may be, it may not be, depending on your belief system. But you at least have an opportunity to go along and help design whatever this is mm-hmm. so that it fits for you.
Right. To continue on the golf analogy, if we can, I feel like you're saying it beautifully. Like, for example, a golf course is a golf course, right?
There's, yeah. You walk up to it, it's there.
It's there. It's already laid out in many ways. But how we play it, each person is going to play it completely different, have a very different experience, depending on the levels, right? And how we approach the golf course and why we approach it and, you know, different experiences in life and how much we practice and all that. So, you know, as a beginner golfer like yourself and someone who's had more experience, you know, we would have two very completely different experiences on the exact same golf course.
Yes.
But that golf course doesn't define who we are. We get to choose how we desire to interact with that golf course. And I love what you're talking about with the different clubs, because if I used your clubs, could I get around that golf course? Sure. But here's the problem. I'd be inherently limited by my experience of the golf course because I'm using something that is not me, not what helps bring the best out of me.
Yes.
And so that what seemingly could be a tool like a golf club ends up being a weapon for my own self because I'm limiting who I am and the experience I can have. Because I can guarantee that I would shoot, if I had your clubs or I had my clubs, my best round would always be better with my own clubs that are fit exactly for me.
Yes.
And so that's what I feel like you're saying, is that no matter what faith, no matter what we believe in, that, you know, life in some ways has some determination of how it may look, but it's our choice on how we interact with it and what tools we choose. If we're just stuck using someone else's tools, well, then we're never going to experience ourselves the way that we know is the possible, the grandest vision, the greatest version of ourselves.
Right.
But if we do take that time to set ourselves up in the way that is best for us, and we have a balanced understanding, we practice in that, then we can approach it in a way that is best for us, and we can succeed in a way that is fulfilling for us.
And how often do you have to check your clubs?
Constantly.
Because it's not like you just go and you get them fit and suddenly, bam, I'm set. I never have to do anything again. Literally, how often do you have to check your clubs?
It's a great question. And that's actually one of the funniest part is that's actually one of the most least understood parts of golf is the continued checking of the clubs, because we forget that, you know, when we're playing golf and we're hitting down on the golf ball, well, that the club starts to, you know, little by little up. So our lie angle and even just how we approach the club is off. So it's no longer fit for us. So we have to go back and, you know, ideally, if you're playing pretty regularly, you'd want to check your lie angles every 4 to 6 months, I would say. You know, if you're playing multiple times a week, you might even want to do every quarter because, you know, just the force of hitting down, it changes. You want to be able to, the grips, for example, are great parts. If you're playing regular golf, you need to probably change your grips a minimum of once a year. Again, it's all depending on how much you use them. But there's plenty of people who approach golf where they get all the best stuff for themselves and then they just keep the golf clubs in the garage and then never take the time to experience them.
And thus is the same with our life and our internal tools,
right.
Especially ego.
Yes.
How often do we check in on our ego?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that set of clubs, if not properly maintained, you go out on the golf course, you shoot a horrible round. I've witnessed throwing of clubs, screaming, yelling, they end up in the pond. You know, that tool became their weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was against them. The clubs are against me. The course is against me. Ah. But really, it was the lack of attention to the tool that created the experience that seemed to pin everything against the individual. And so it's very much the same. If we don't consistently focus on the tools that we've been given to navigate this amazing experience that we call life, I mean, this is such a gift. But we have to pay attention to the resources and the tools that we came with and consistently maintain them.
Right.
To have the optimal experience. And that's what we're offering here.
Mm-hmm. So well said. And it's no wonder that when we do attempt to play someone else's clubs, that we're inherently limited. And it feels like a fight because it's not in harmony. If we're not someone else, or we're using someone else's tools, they're not in harmony with who we are. And when we feel confined or limited, it's natural to just want to break free from that. And so no wonder it feels like a fight. But when you do create the tools that are for you, you feel that freedom. It no longer becomes a fight. It feels like harmony. It feels like peace. It feels like confidence, not from an overego standpoint. And it doesn't feel like it's confidence coming from to overcome an underego standpoint. It's a balanced, natural, authentic confidence that each of us have when we are aligned with who we are.
Yeah. It's that sense of self, that knowing of self, where it's like, okay, it's just who I am.
Yeah.
And it's good. This is who I'm meant to be.
Right.
And when we talk about codependency in that way, it is where we begin to feel like, oh, you should be able to use my clubs. Or, yeah, I should be able to just pick up your clubs and go. And we don't understand why we can't. Like, why it's not just interchangeable in that way. And it's understandable. I mean, when you think about it and you look at it from that perspective, well, why shouldn't I? We're all people. Why, if I'm your height, why shouldn't I be able to just pick up your club and go and be successful with it? We don't look at small differences, you know? And I think that's where we miss sometimes, because we don't look at the little subtle differences between all of us. Are we similar? Yeah, we are. We're all humans, all on this journey. There are many things that make us the same. And it's wonderful if we can get to a point where we connect on our similarities, but we also have to honor our subtle differences and allow ourselves to bring forward our subtle differences and celebrate those.
Right. With our last few themes, authenticity and vulnerability, which I feel fit beautifully with what you just articulated. How does honoring others and their subtleties help us understand our own? Because I know we do talk about, hey, we don't want to put all of our focus on an outside-to-in approach. We want to do an inside-to-out. But I feel like this topic of balancing ego is such a great time to understand the difference between taking the outside-to-in and observing the outside-to-in. And do you mind diving into that just a little bit, just to, in the spirit of subtlety?
Yeah, of course. From my perspective, what I would say is when we take the time to observe the uniqueness of those around us without reacting if something doesn't align with us, but really observing and responding from an authentic place, it informs us more of who we are, right? Even if it's something that we don't desire to be, that informs me, like, hey, that doesn't fit for me. And I feel that, and I'm not going to judge that person or that experience or that circumstance or any of it. But I know that that doesn't feel right for me. But don't just let it stop there. We then have an opportunity, and I do this quite often. I'm like, okay, so I knew that that didn't align for me, and I honored myself and my feeling. And I also honor that that circumstance was a fit for those who were engaged in it. But now I want to understand for myself, why didn't that fit for me? What does that show me about me and my journey and how I choose to move forward? Is it just not right for me right now? could it ever be right for me? And it gives me an opportunity to learn more about my sense of who I am, but also create space for the potential in a future. Because who knows? We don't know how we're going to grow, change, expand in our awareness. So it always allows for a grander potential of self too, because it's not always like it's a negative situation. It could be that this is something that's just so big and magnificent that I just know that I'm not ready for that step in my life yet because I haven't gained the skills or the insights to take that next step. Doesn't mean I won't be yet, but I just need to honor where I am. And so then I can take a step back and go, okay, so does that make me bad? Is my sense of self less? Am I lower than those who are doing these grand things? It would be so easy for me to do that. Or is it that I know myself enough to know that I would not be doing those who are engaged in that a favor if I stepped into it when I'm not ready, nor would I be doing myself a favor because I haven't acquired what I need yet to get there. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to. And it doesn't mean that maybe there isn't something else and something even grander on the horizon for me. So it gives me that opportunity to constantly go within while also observing externally and giving gratitude for the multiple potentials. There's not just one. And I know personally, I used to do that all the time. Oh my gosh, I've got to grab this one. This isn't going to happen again. Oh my gosh, if I don't act on this right now, then it's never going to happen for me. And one thing I've gained from constantly doing this review is this alignment of my ego is to have a calmer sense, knowing that what is meant for me will always be in my present moment. Always. And if it doesn't feel aligned for me right then, it's okay. Because if it's meant to happen, it will present itself again. And it will present itself again. And it will present itself again. I don't have to fear that it's not going to be there. So I don't know if that fully answered your question.
Yeah.
But I just find that it's interesting to observe what's going on and understand how it fits for me internally now and even potentially going forward.
It's beautiful. And I even like how you threw another tool, like an affirmation, in there to enhance that bigger picture. And so it is just in many ways, like in our toolbox, for example, a physical one, you know, we may have a drill and there's different bits to that drill depending on what we need to do, and we can interchange them. So the bits themselves are a tool, the drill is a tool, and then combined it becomes a greater tool. And I love how you just presented that for that bigger picture, so thank you.
Yeah, and this kind of goes into why we have the Heart Leader Toolbox, right?
It does.
So we talk about toolboxes a lot.
We do.
And part of that is me, because I did grow up building things. Like, my family and I built the house that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And it always stuck with me because, one, it was as a family, we literally built the home together, and every brick, everything just meant so much. But we also learned how important every tool was. And that if you didn't have a tool that was necessary, could you make do with other tools? Of course you could. But each one, when you learned it, when you had it, and you learned how to appropriately use it, it just made the job so much faster and easier. Mm-hmm. And it just was in alignment. And it was a beautiful, magnificent experience at that point. Mm-hmm. So you could either use the tool that wasn't meant for the job and it sucked, but it got done, or you could use the one that was meant for the job and it was so much easier. And so when we start talking about how to build something out that had multiple things in it, it just resonated that the toolbox is exactly that. If you have the right tool for the job, it's just so much easier. It flows. Could you get there with other tools? Of course you can. Mm-hmm. Does it suck sometimes? Of course it does. But why don't we just give people access to free resources that provides them with a tool that makes it easier? Because we have enough challenges in our life right now.
Right.
We don't need to be fumbling around for the tool that we need when we need it. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have this toolbox and why we keep talking about toolboxes. There's the origin story.
I like it. As we kind of wrap up here, I feel like there's one more part that is really important to discuss. And I feel like getting your perspective on what tool to utilize in this area. Because when it comes to ego, whether you're struggling with over ego or under ego, shiny key syndrome.
What? Oh, sorry.
Pulls sometimes the worst.
Yeah.
And what do you feel is a great tool to help people in terms of balancing their ego? Well, as you were talking about, observing the outside of self and the subtleties, but not getting so caught up in the shiny key that's pulling our attention and almost makes us unconscious. And so it really can immediately dive and dig into our insecurities and then pull out that over ego to overcome, compensate for that. What's a way to pull back, to get out of your own way,
yeah,
and find that balance? Because right now in our lives, I'm sure people are dealing with it constantly. There's so many shiny keys out there for all of us, pulling us in a thousand directions. And it can feel so stressful, especially when we don't know who we are, on where to go. How do we identify a shiny key versus something that's actually a part of our path?
You know, there are so many different, just like there are so many shiny keys, there are so many ways to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all so unique that we really need to find the one that fits.
Where's a place to start?
So there, to offer some starting points,
yeah.
I know we talk about positive affirmation a lot, or having something that can be a go-to.
Mm-hmm.
So when all of these shiny things start pulling you outside of self, having a phrase that you can go to that recenters you back into self.
Nice.
Like knowing who you are. What is that one phrase? Like for me, it is, I am love.
Mm-hmm.
Or just the Aham Prema, that mantra, just helps pull me back. Just counting to three before you respond to something. Taking that few seconds before you make a choice. Because sometimes we're so quick to react and make a choice that it might not be the one that thoroughly aligns with our heart. So if we just, okay, I'm not going to make the choice immediately. I'm going to count to three, feel what I desire, then make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
Or taking a breath as you count to three, like, okay, let me feel this through. Not think, but feel, then think. So that it aligns the heart and the mind, which is our focus.
Mm-hmm.
If you are someone who can do meditation or prayer,
mm-hmm,
taking the time on a regular interval so that you train yourself to have shutdown time.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with so many different things, but it keeps you connected within so that you still have that space that's within you. There's no compensating outside of self for that sacred time within self, however you find it. Even if it's just that you go for a walk and that's your time to yourself, because sitting and doing meditation and prayer does not fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
take a walk. That's fine. But find something that helps you connect within yourself.
I love that. I feel like that's a really good takeaway. Find something that really helps you connect with yourself, however that looks.
Yeah.
So those are beautiful examples to help people. I feel really, you know, because someone listening right now might gravitate more towards one of them. So I really appreciate you bringing some of those examples up. But for those of you who didn't quite resonate with any of those, I think that's a great takeaway. And I feel like the journal that is available this month, our free download, does actually have some of those in there so that people can actually practice real time.
Yeah. So the journal this month is all about, one, understanding what aligning ego even means, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the difference between our soul and our ego? And then going through, okay, what is your current state of your ego? And is it what you desire it to be in different categories, from personal to professional to social to familial? How are you showing up from an ego standpoint? And then taking the time to, okay, so this is where you are currently. Where would you like to be? If you're already there, wonderful. But if not, how do you get from where you are to where you would desire to be? And there's checklists. There are daily and weekly plans that you can navigate through. So it's a pretty in-depth resource this month, because we all navigate through ego.
Right.
Right.
And it's a lot. And there's a lot of questions. We're poking our own self. You know,
yeah.
It's hard not to feel that, you know, like hurting our own ego just to get through it in some ways, because we're like, man, I don't want to see myself as this. I've struggled with that. And so just learning how to get through that can make a difference, because it can really open yourself up to who you are. And when you're able to gift yourself with who you are, the best part is that you're able to gift others. And that is in many ways, for me, the divine gift that we get to see when people choose their authentic selves. They're vulnerable, which we talked about last month and how important that is. And that's why balancing ego and understanding self is such a great next step, because authenticity and vulnerability can help you create and understand who you are and the very best version of yourself.
Yes. Diving into ego definitely requires you to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to take that clear look at where you are. So, well, thank you.
Thank you, my love.
Love, love, love sitting and chatting with you. Thankfully, I get to do it all the time. And we thank you for joining us on another episode of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber, and I am joined by co-host Austin. We do hope you'll take a moment to download this month's tool in the Heart Leader Toolbox. It is the Ego Alignment Journal, and we'll have a link for you posted here. And until next time, we look forward to seeing you in our Suivera community.
You've been listening to the Heart Leader Podcast with your host, Amber, where heart and mind align. Tune in weekly on TransformationTalkRadio.com as we take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. Ready to take the next step? Join us and over 1 million people worldwide who've united in creating this global movement of love. Become a heart leader for today and tomorrow. Learn more and connect with us at suivera.org.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.